In this chapter,
The basic format of the chapter is very similar to the previous chapter, although the work that they do is a little bit different. And the missionary wife is just as much a missionary as her husband. In fact, my children served in many capacities during their time when they were living at home on the mission field with us. And the missionary wife has her own unique work to maintain on the mission field. Her personal and devotional life is very important, just like the missionary husband would be. She has to have a good relationship with the Lord and maintain that. And you can look over these notes that you have a copy of. And the missionary mother must meet her Lord daily face to face and must have a quiet, deep intercourse with Him and a good relationship, good, strong relationship with the Lord. You say, well, why is that the case? Well, because she's the one that's, you know, that's behind all of the home operation, and really even in the ministry, if the children are grown, she's involved a lot in the ministry as well. And so it's important that she is in touch with the Lord. Her husband is her first priority. You'll notice I've listed things in the priority I feel is biblical. And, you know, the wife is to, you know, to make sure that she takes care of the man that she's married. And that's her prime responsibility and joy. And we have some quotes in here from lady missionaries, a missionary to China, Rosalind, and she recounted her commitment to her husband, said, so when in that autumn he said, will you join your life with mine for China? My answer was yes, without a moment's hesitation. But a few days later, when he said, will you give me your promise that always you will allow me to put my Lord and His work first, even before you, I gave an inward gasp before replying, yes, I will always. And really that's the case. Why? Because the Lord has to be first in everybody's life. The Lord is premium. I mean, you know, He's the supreme one in our life. So we have to give Him His place. Now that doesn't mean we don't love our wife or love our husband or love our children or love our church or whatever, but we have to realize that He takes first place. He is number one. And of course, we have to be, you know, the missionary has to be an example to those that they're teaching and preaching the gospel to, and, you know, and trying to encourage them to understand that God's Word is eternal. And if we can believe that and practice that, then we too are eternal, you see. Why? Because of what the Word of God is. The Word of God is written so that we can read it, but the Word of God is living. Because if we follow its precepts in our life, it has a tremendous life-changing influence on us. We don't think like the world. We don't act like the world. We think like what Christ would think, you see. It makes us like Christ. And that's one thing we have to keep in mind. And so along with meeting her husband's needs, she also bears the responsibility of maintaining the home and caring for the children. And this will mean long hours and hard work. And when it is done, as unto the Lord, it will bring great joy and contentment. We need to keep these things in mind. Here's another quote. The only successful way to handle the obstacles in the road to a happy married life in the parsonage is to learn the technique of praying things through and talking things out. It's very important that you've got good communication with the Lord and with those in your family and in the church and so forth. To harbor misunderstanding and to allow resentment to develop is a sure beginning of a breach. But to talk about the problem calmly, centering the discussion on the issue rather than on the person, is an expression of adult emotional maturity. you see. And I feel families need to at least one meal a day. If the children are living in the home, you should. It's a must that you have a meal together where you sit down and phones go off and you can converse as you eat. Okay? And that's something that I practiced in our home. You know, I felt that that was very necessary. Okay? Well, now my children are not in my home, but I still have influence with my children. And if I feel something's not right, I tell them I don't think it's right. Okay? They may disagree with me. But when we all get to heaven, they're going to find out I was right from the beginning. Okay? I mean, you know, some people think, well, you're old-fashioned. Well, I believe the old book. I believe the blood. That's old. The cross was long before I was ever born. Listen, let me tell you something. The only thing that doesn't change is God and His Word. Everything else in life is fluid. I don't know if you realize it, but it's fluid. This physical life, it passes quickly. I'm ahead of all of you. Okay? It passes very quickly. It goes very fast. And the older you get, the faster it goes. I have a birthday every 6 months now. Okay. So, I'm trying to get you to realize that, you know, that you have to set good foundation and then work off of that, you see, and it'll help you in your life. The wife is there to complement and enhance the ministry of her missionary husband. Missionary wives must receive double honor for the part that they play in mission work. William Carey, a missionary to India, gave this tribute to his wife at her funeral. Now listen to what he said. I am now called to the divine providence to be a mourner again, having lately experienced the greatest domestic loss that a man can sustain. My dear wife was removed from me by death on Wednesday morning, May 30th, about 20 minutes after midnight. She was eminently pious and lived a very near to God. The Bible was her daily delight, and next to God she lived only for me. But that was his second wife, if you read the biography. In other words, he went through that before. And what I'm trying to get you to realize is that this life is fleeting. It goes by very rapidly. And we can't base anything on that. The life I base things on is the eternal life, because I know that's eternal, and I can depend upon that. Her children and home, after her relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and her husband, the missionary wife's primary responsibilities are her children and her home. When the children are young, these two responsibilities take up a lot of her energy and time. It is important that her missionary husband has no worries when it comes to the children and the home. Proverbs 31, verses 11 and 12. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And that's truly what my wife has done for me. She's been a great help to me. The missionary wife carries much of the burden in relation to the details of rearing the children. And not only are we trying to reach those in foreign lands with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but also reach our own children and train them up to live godly, productive lives. What missionary children become in adult life usually germinates in their mother's hands. And that's true of the children that are in you ladies' hands. You understand? See, if you want your children to be godly, you have to impress godliness upon them and get them to realize that's the way. You see, the world's wanting people to be smart and handsome and beautiful and dress up and but all that's fleeting. We got to realize all that's fleeting. You see, that's just for a time. You see, so you have to make sure you nurture properly. tender age and continue until the children reach adulthood. Missionary children usually miss out on the strong bonds with other family relatives. Therefore, the husband and wife must provide a good sense of security and well-being in the missionary home. Discipline is very important, as well as spiritual growth after salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some feel that missionary children miss out on a lot of things in life that life has to offer to them in the United States. But none of my children have begrudged the fact that they were in foreign countries when they were young. Not a one of them. And my children that are living in the United States, all of my daughters, if I go home from here and I say, hey, I'm going to take a trip to the West Indies and I've got an extra ticket, who wants it? Well, they'd be fighting over it. Why? Well, it'd be a treat to them to go back and see people that they knew from years ago. It would be a treat, you see. And I know what I'm talking about because I'm there. I'm living it, okay? Believe what I'm saying, okay? Okay. Discipline's very important, you see. However, missionary children tend to have a broader concept of the world, often bilingual. If I were working in a place where I was, using a different language, more than likely my children would have picked that up just, so easy. It's so easy when you're young to pick it up. That's what they say. At my age, I don't know anymore if I could pick up another language. I'd have to really work on it and be able to interact with different nationalities of people. One area of grave concern is the education of the children on the mission field, especially if the mission work is in a primitive area of the world. Many missionary families find that they have to homeschool their children or send them away to schools for missionary children. My wife and I, at an earlier time when we were in Malaysia, we went and visited an international Christian school up in Penang. And they have about 200, 250, 300 students up there. And a lot of the students are missionary children. And so they send them over there. They have a place for them to live. They go to school. And yet, for long periods of time, they're away from their family. Now, we never did do that. We always kept the children at home. And we homeschooled them several years. And my wife was always thinking, well, they're not getting enough education. I said, honey, education is a relative thing. It's not a ironclad thing. You can explain a mathematical problem, but it doesn't mean they're going to get it the first time they hear it. They may not understand the concept the first time. And, so education, some people don't get it all until they're out of the regular school level. And they get in junior college or something. Then the light comes on. Then the light comes on. And they get it, you see. So homeschooling is fine if it's consistent. If you make sure they do their work, you check up on them. And if they do it and they take their exams and they understand the material, they're going to be just as good, well off as the ones that are not homeschooled. Okay? And I've had children in both organized schools and homeschooling. And if done right, all of it works. Okay? All of it will work. The home. Homekeeping conditions can vary depending on where you're located. It may be as modern as the United States
or Singapore,
or it may be in the jungles of Africa or South America or someplace like that, you see. And regardless, a man's work is from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. Okay? And the wife is always working on things. And if a woman feels she ought to leave her house in disorder and dirt while she does work for the Lord, she has a dislocated sense of duty. My wife was always one to keep things straight. Okay? Now, I can't say that for my children, but I can say it for my wife. So if it didn't rub off, it's not her fault. Okay? And they all know that they need to keep the place right. And of course, the children were always involved in taking care of keeping things right in the home. I remember one time the lawn was getting too long, and you couldn't use a lawnmower on it. You had to get out there with a machete and pull weeds and cut the grass and so forth. I mean, it had to be done by hand. One Saturday morning, I got all the kids up. I said, "Listen, we're gonna clean the yard today." "Oh, Dad, surely we can do that later." I said, "No, when you get out there and stand in it, you're gonna know we need to do it today." You see, and I said, "I need help. It's not something I can do by myself." And so all of us are gonna work on it, and we all went and worked on it and cleaned it up. They would go to the Bible college and help do things over there because we needed more hands to get the work done. So it's important that you do that. When it comes to appliances and such, I think if you can do it, I think you should do it because it makes it easier to maintain the home and get what needs to be done in the home. Some people cook on a charcoal fire in some places. Okay? Now, if that's all you can do, that's what you can do. Okay? And that's fine. And if I was there and I'm hungry, I'll be looking for something to come out of the pot on the charcoal fire that will be good and nutritious. You see. Have you ever cooked on charcoal? Yes, I have. Okay? I used to be in the Boy Scouts. We went camping. We roughed it. We slept on the ground. Okay? I've done it all. Okay? I've done it all. Have you ever gone and got your own fish? Yes. I have a spear gun. I'm a certified scuba diver. I was serious at it. Okay? I put meat on the table. I even went and got lobster. How many would like to have lobster? Well, if you don't put your hand up, something wrong with you. I'll take lobster any day. Yeah. I've caught my own. Yes. We had fish traps that we used at the Bible college. We'd have to hike down through the bush and go down there and check the fish traps. But we kept fish on the table for the students. I had to kind of get behind some of the young men to help me do that, but we did it, and got a lot of fish. Even got an eel one time, and the cook dressed it out, cooked it up, everybody ate it. It was good. So you can have modern conveniences, but you know sometimes modern conveniences get in the way. I'll explain that. We have a nice floor here, right? But in a home, if you had a piece of carpet on the floor, it sure would feel good when you're barefoot, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be cold. The floor wouldn't be as cold. Why? You're walking on a carpet. But then when you put a carpet on the floor, then you feel like you got to get a vacuum cleaner. Right? Why? Because you have a carpet. You just don't take a broom and clean it. The carpet doesn't clean good that way. And even if you have a vacuum, it doesn't always get everything up. Right? Maybe you don't have any carpet in your house. I remember when we had Hurricane Hugo, we had carpet in a lot of our house. And when the roof went off, everything got wet in the house because there was no roof. Well, not every room, but most all the rooms. And And I had to go and just rip up the carpet, just take it up off of the floor and throw it away. Because it ruined it. The storm ruined it. So I had to get rid of it. So for a long time, we didn't have any carpet in the house. But we had to have a vacuum to take care of the carpet. And then once in a while, you would have to shampoo the carpet. You know. Everybody likes a pet in the house, right? Yeah. But once in a while, you have to give the dog a bath. Right? Nobody wants to bathe the dog. You know, God makes it simple. And then we can make it complex. You know, we cause our own problems a lot of times. If we really sit down and think about what we're doing and how we're doing it, you know, we can make life a little simpler. But some of the modern conveniences, if you're able to do it, I think it's a good thing. It does cut down on time and energy. The wife must learn to be very flexible when it comes to the area of hospitality. Over the years, we'd have people come. For many years, the Bible College did not have any extra space. I mean, you know, everything was wall to wall, and the dorm space was small and everything. So if you had a visitor come to speak at the Bible College, you always had to take them home. And one of the children lost their bedroom. And they ended up having to go to one of the other bedrooms to give the guest a place. And then finally, I did some work at the house, and I had a couple extra rooms that we weren't using regular. And then if somebody came, it was very easy. We had a place for them, you know. It made it so nice, you see. But for many years, we didn't have that. So hospitality is something that really works. Learning to prepare some of the local native dishes may help with the bonding process. And learning how to cook the local food and such is something that is done. And as the children grow older, they should be included in the schedule for doing housework. And they must be trained to help with the household chores and in taking care of themselves. And this will help greatly in the maintaining a clean and orderly home. Language, the wife should study the language and culture just like the husband does. In fact, usually the wife is better versed in a new language than her husband. Women tend to do better verbally than men, okay? And so they usually pick up things a little better than their husband. But then they're not the ones that are having to preach and teach all the time. But yet, that's the case. Her missionary work, as the children get older, then they can be more involved in the missionary work. And with the responsibility of home, that the husband's attitude about her involvement in the ministry, the attitude of other missionary women. My wife was one of the first missionary wives. When we went to the West Indies, she was one of the first that drove. Okay? And because she drove, all the others, as time went along, got their driver's license. Okay? If somebody wanted to go to town, from the Bible College to town in Charlotte Amalie, if they had to get there fast, I'd put them in the car with my wife. She'd get them there faster than I would. That's right. She drove faster than me. Okay? Along with these responsibilities, there's a lot of things involved here. Correspondence. Of course, correspondence nowadays is different than what it used to be. We used to write letters, but you have all kind of things, teaching and translation and bookkeeping and secretarial work and different types of Bible classes, correspondence, being a hostess, counseling, and visitation. It's endless. There's always something that needs to be done. And in Isaiah 58:6-12, a great passage that's descriptive of mission work. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? to loose the bands of the wicked, to undo the heavy burdens and let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that they cast out to all, out of thy house? When thou seest the naked, that they cover them, and hide that not thyself from thine own flesh, then shall thy light break forth as in the morning, and hath health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee, the glory of the Lord shall be thy rewarder. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer, and thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here am I, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and put forth the finger, and speaking vanity. But if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like the watered garden, and like the spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they shall be of thee, shall build the old waste places, and thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. So, and this passage is a very good passage that talks about a lot of things that the missionary has to do. And of course, she has to maintain communication, keep the communication line open, and solve the personal problems. No need for personnel to simply obey such commands as this passage. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And then, of course, she has to keep in touch with people, but her ministry in perspective, there's times when everybody needs to sit back and say, okay, what am I accomplishing for the Lord? Even you as a person, you see, am I doing everything that God would like for me to do as a Christian? You see, not just as a missionary, but as a Christian. Am I accomplishing? Am I doing more this year than I did last year? Or am I coasting in my Christian life? You see, we need to really, talk to ourselves, because if we don't, life goes by so quickly. And then we get at the end of life, like Solomon did, and then, we regret what we did because we weren't doing what God wanted us to do, you see. And so we hope that this chapter will help each one of us to do a better job, okay? Next week we're going to be looking at the chapter our relationships. It's a very important chapter. Sometimes people just have trouble getting along with people, and that's bad. We got to get along, okay? And in mission work, we have to be, have good relationship with all the, our supporting churches and our sending church and the mission agency and the director and, you name it. Everybody has to be working together. And we'll be covering that next week. Okay. Any questions? You have these materials. You can read about it, read up on it. Think about what the chapters are saying. And of course, the principles that are spoken of here, also principles that we can use in our daily lives. And whether you like it or not, if you're saved, you're a missionary. Okay? Why? Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. That great commission was given to you as a Christian, just like it was given to me as a Christian. Okay? You say, yeah, but you're the missionary. Well, yes, I am a missionary, but you're a missionary too. There's people that you can talk to and influence that I may never have an opportunity to talk to and influence. And so we each have a responsibility. And we need to keep that in mind. So if we do our mission work at home and abroad, and God says, well done, hey, we can be happy. Okay? But we have to work at it every day of our lives to make sure that we're accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish.